Hello, I'm Mariet Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to wellness professionals ready to assist, inform and inspire. Today's topic is emotional control, the foundation of trust, honor and resilience. My guest is Gabriel Dibble, serial founder, executive producer, educator, researcher and writer, tech leader and strategist from Ventura, California. You're so welcome, Gabriel.
It's great to be here, Mariet. Thank you very much.
To our listeners, thanks for joining us. After our conversation, it will be fun question time. Gabriel, could you tell us more about what you do, your passions and your services?
Of course. Growing up, I was very entrepreneurial, selling Scholastic books, winning the Little League baseball candy bar sales, and selling enough church camp fundraiser enchiladas to go for free. We didn't have much money, so I learned early to work hard for what I wanted. In high school, I started my first business when the internet was just getting started on modems. And I built websites and did computer training for businesses and people in my small town. I did this while starting college courses a little early, which helped me pay for my own books and tuition. I also applied as a professor at 17 to teach computers. Not long after, I moved to the big city on my own. Let me tell you, Los Angeles and Orange County were a lot different than the country ranch I grew up on. But I was ambitious, and I knew how to work hard. I soon started a web design firm, and later, a few more software companies. I also worked in big tech enterprises, then went up to Hollywood at CAA, which is a leading entertainment agency. Through that journey, I read a mountain of professional development and leadership books. I've always helped others charitably and also with learning as a natural leader and educator. One day, though, it occurred to me that great knowledge is wasted if not shared to help others grow. It's called fulfillment, and it's the very tip of Maslow's pyramid, if you're familiar with that. So after the pandemic, I started reading studies about the troubles people had readjusting. Now, I've always cut my own road in life and had the courage to try anything and apply myself. However, I realized many people don't share that same confidence. So while helping people with job recommendations and staying positive, I realized I could and must do more. Now, as a creative, I had ideas, though I had never tried content creation. Well, I had to do it. And that's where my heart called me to help people grow. So I knew I could teach people to unlock their potential and be everything their heart desires.
Yeah, and that is something close to your heart, isn't it? Helping people unlock their potential.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to say I know how to do everything, but what I do know is that if I can read something, if I can study it, and then have the confidence to try it, I can really achieve anything I put my heart and mind to. So that's what I'm trying to help people also gain that character and confidence.
Yeah, and that's really inspirational. Now, coming to our topic today, when we face high-pressure situations, we often lose our cool. And this doesn't only affect our personal lives, but also how we fare professionally. Now, Gabriel, how would you define emotional control?
Sure, thanks. Well, we all have emotions and impulses. It's part of being human. Sometimes you feel high or low, and this expresses in your body language, speech, and thus how you either react or respond to triggers. Let's consider emotional awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and our social skills. Now, you've met people who fly off the handle. You also know people who don't let things affect their demeanor. The latter has emotional control. They've learned how to pause, find clarity, and respond instead of instantly react. So here's a rhetorical question. Which do you trust?
Yeah. How does emotional control influence our personal relationships?
So we're all constantly learning from our environments, the benefits, risks, and people. We're subconsciously watching ourselves. And in turn, others are paying attention to our actions. Talk is cheap, but our actions show our energy and intentions. The people we live with, work with, and even momentarily interact with are observing. Do you want to be known for being impulsive, having roller coaster emotions, or as the cool one people can turn to in a crisis? Anxious or yelling will stand out to people, and not in a good way. But being adaptive, flexible, and understanding builds trust. See, the way I look at it is the world is hard enough, and we all have our own problems. So the least we can do for others is to control ourselves and build credibility.
Then at work, which role does emotional mastery play there?
Sure. So did you know that 90% of top performers have high emotional intelligence? That should say a lot. See, a job is about being productive and working as a team. But bickering, causing drama, and being reactive shifts people out of their own focus, which causes deadlines to be missed and work to go off the rails. Emotional mastery helps everyone, from leaders to workers, stay calm and find solutions without knee-jerk reactions. Communication improves and decisions are more grounded, while productivity can remain elevated and stable. This helps us get more work done and reduces stress at work, which no one really wants.
Gabriel, why is the ability to regulate one's emotions a professional advantage?
Well, how do you want to be known? I bet it's as reliable, trustworthy, and capable of handling high-stress situations with confidence. See, people who regulate their emotions are naturally trusted by their peers and management, and most often receive promotions and raises. This even comes across in interviews.
And how would you say, does emotional control serve us personally?
Well, no one wants to be abused physically or verbally. That's a fact everyone knows and can relate to. Our friends and family notice if we are balanced, and when we are, our relationships grow deeper and more meaningful for both parties. We make better decisions, are better communicators, cause less stress, and can even help others cope.
Are there any other benefits, for instance, regarding our physiology?
Sure. For one, you'll be less stressed and you'll sleep a lot better. this balance translates to a stronger, more balanced immune system, which in turn keeps our peers healthier. You'll be less anxious and thus make better decisions. And in turn, you'll think more clearly, faster, and have better memory recall, thanks to being less stressed and getting quality sleep. But it doesn't stop there. These benefits compound and improve your physical resilience to illness and disease, and also your ability to cope with challenges and get things done.
Gabriel, can you offer some examples or stories of emotional control?
Sure. So in my episodes, I do a lot of storytelling, and these are from my research on the subject of emotional control from one of my Let's Go Do It All episodes. Now, during COVID, do you remember hearing of the story of Captain Tom Moore? He was a 100-year-old British Army veteran. His optimism and strength led a fundraiser for healthcare workers by walking 100 laps around his garden. Now, that probably wasn't easy for him at being 100 years old, but he wanted to inspire people. His positive emotional control inspired people to pitch in for the cause. Another story that you might remember of another noteworthy captain, but this time an aviator, Captain Sullenberger stayed calm during an aircraft malfunction and saved 155 passengers in a river water landing. Now, I don't think that's very common, but his sage emotional mastery became known as the Miracle on the Hudson. And here's one you definitely know. Lastly, imagine the emotional control and leadership Malala Yousafzai demonstrated when, instead of cowering from an attempted assassination, she stood resilient and continued to advocate for girls' education. Her emotional control demonstrated positive social change and has inspired young and old around the world. Those are some of the stories that I think are really great demonstrators of emotional control.
Yeah, they're truly powerful.
Absolutely.
My next question is, can emotional control be developed?
Yes, it can. In fact, our emotional intelligence and how we control these emotions can be strengthened like a muscle. Here's the gym workout. Number one, pause before responding. Whenever you feel an intense emotion, pause for a few seconds before responding. Those moments help your brain shift from an automatic reaction to a deliberate response. Two, label the emotion. And this is also known as affect labeling. When you feel an emotion, silently acknowledge it by saying, I'm feeling frustrated, or I'm feeling anxious. Doing this can reduce its impact and give you control over how you respond. Number three, practice mindfulness or meditation. These help build emotional resilience by training the brain to stay calm under pressure. Research shows that just a few minutes of mindfulness or meditation daily can make it easier to handle stress. One example is to simply focus on breathing calmly. Four, reframe negative thoughts, also known as cognitive reframing. This decreases stress by allowing us to view negative situations from a new perspective. For instance, instead of thinking, oh, I failed, try reframing it as, I learned valuable lessons from this. This proactively reduces reactions and keeps you grounded in a growth mindset. And finally, 5, visualize the desired outcome. Visualization techniques prepare your mind for positive responses under pressure. Imagine yourself responding calmly to a challenge, handling your emotions gracefully. Practicing this regularly builds confidence in managing future stressful events with self-control. So I hope those 5 tips really help with building your own emotional control and regulation.
Yeah, and I'd just like to put in as an aside that you've now given us some stories and some information and practical tips, and that's exactly what you do in your videos, but we're going to come to that a little later.
That's right.
Yeah. A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za. And it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can share childhood memories with your children or grandchildren, record a bird's eye view of your career or business, or speak about an unforgettable trip. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. To tie into these tips, Gabriel, could you offer any practical tools for strengthening the prefrontal cortex and diminishing impulsive reactions from the amygdala?
Sure. Here are some tools to short-circuit a knee-jerk reaction with mindfulness. Use focused breath techniques such as box breathing. So let's try this together. You're going to want to slowly breathe in, counting to 4. Hold it for 4 seconds. Slowly breathe out, counting to 4. Hold that for 4 seconds. And repeat this. So doing this 4-4-4-4 technique, maybe 3 or 4 times, or just a couple times when you're feeling anxious, will really calm you down. Another tool you can use is a body scan, and that just means being aware of your senses. This will ground your emotional state, giving you pause and calming the storm. Movement also works well, whether doing a quick stretch, going out for a walk, or some quick aerobics. And I'm sure you've all felt that big difference when you just move around or go for a walk outside. Let's also work on self-awareness. Stop and journal. Another, name your emotions like we just talked about. And finally, seek feedback from a trusted friend or mentor. All of these things will help you identify what may not be immediately apparent.
Thank you, Gabriel. And while acquiring this skill, which challenges might one need to overcome?
So the first challenge and step in emotional control is learning to pause. Now, that may sound simple, but as you know, when you get hot, sometimes it's really hard not to just immediately react. And this is very important. When you're coaching and a player does something wrong, you're parenting and your kid disobeys, you're leading an employee causes a problem, or you're challenging yourself and you just mess up. Every time you pause first, you begin hardwiring a more controlled neural pathway. Neurons that fire together wire together. And the more you practice a pause, the thicker that neural pathway grows and is less resistant. So you will tend more towards that calm behavior and those related to it. Use empathy to think how others would feel. Hold your outburst, collect yourself, and then move forward. Learning to overcome a reactionary state is possible, and the more you pause first, the easier it becomes. So every time you practice this pause, you're training yourself to be a little more controlled.
Would you like to share your personal experience regarding the cultivation and the benefits of emotional control?
Yes, sure. So in the office, I've been in plenty of situations where my ideas were challenged. Before I learned to pause, to be honest, I made a fool of myself by not thinking clearly or seeing the situation from only my perspective. I learned to stop and think, would this win over the team? So you can think, or better yet, ask, how can we all work together to find a solution that satisfies all of us? Another powerful tool that cannot be overstated is active listening. You want to listen intently. Do not interrupt and aim to understand the other's perspective. Obviously, this shows respect and builds trust.
Would you like to share more info about Do It All, your platforms and social media?
Sure, thank you. So, Do It All can be found at letsgodoitall.com. And our media hub, where we post everything first, is youtube.com/letsgodoitall. With that same unified branding as at Let's Go Do It All on Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, X, which used to be Twitter, LinkedIn, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Discord, and Ko-Fi, spelled K-O-F-I, which is for funding. Now, we use all of these platforms because not everyone uses the same social media. And this growth information is so important that we try to get it out to people everywhere. One other thing is we have a secure fan merch store at store.letsgodoitall with just some fun gear. So earlier, I talked about how I knew I could do more to help people unlock their potential and be everything their heart desires. I started the project with a 25-part series called Mastering Life. This is being developed, produced into video episodes, which are then cut into shorts, and in whole, will be published as a book. Like we talked about earlier, my style is designed for all types of people. Some like to be inspired by stories and history. Others like to know the facts and the underlying science. Bookworms like to dig even deeper, so I provide reviews as just a taste. And others simply want the actionable steps to get started. I provide all these things with an overview. I go through each of these areas, give the tips that work based on research, not just fluff, but real things. And then I wrap it all up with a key takeaway. This comprehensive packaging ensures the audience will leave with a real way to grow and practical ways to achieve it. The episodes include all these, the shorts are clips, and the forthcoming Mastering Life book will include much more depth, and various versions will be released with less and more detail and even reference data. That's because all of the data that we collect is from leading research and scientists, and everything is built to help you actually grow based on facts. Beyond this, I even have a sequel book in mind that will continue the journey of personal development. Now, my heart lies in helping this world grow, and there's nothing more important than our children and their future. That's why I have plans to redevelop the content in a form for educators in fun formats children will love. Beyond personal development, the meaning of the moniker Do It All is rooted in helping people do anything. And the project is non-niche and expands to many topics. First, we build character and confidence. Then we move on to doing anything and everything. I like to think that with passion, effort, reflection, and resilience, human potential can achieve our wildest dreams. Now, I know that might sound a little bit much, but I really believe that. And when you try and you apply these strategies, you really can do more than you'd ever imagine.
True. And I'd like to add there that when one looks at your content, Gabriel, you walk your talk, because you apply all these principles when you are developing your content. And I especially appreciate your thoughtful consideration of your audience members in tackling a topic from so many angles and in so many ways.
Thank you for mentioning that, and I really appreciate the comment.
Yeah, and also I will attach some of your links to the podcasts, but the other information, for instance, all the social media tags, they will be in the podcast notes.
Thank you very much.
May I ask you a fun question?
Of course. This will be the fun part. I can't wait.
Yeah. Gabriel, if you were a woodland creature, what would you like to be? And where would you like to live?
Oh, wow. I think the thing that came immediately to mind, which is very interesting, is like a buck with a great display of horns, right? And probably I really love going to pine forests in California. We have a sequoia forest, and that's probably my favorite place to go. So I would say I would like to live there.
That sounds really good. And you know, we don't have those buck in South Africa. that you have with those antlers. I think you're referring to antlers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so they always fascinate me when I see them in images. Thank you, Gabriel, for sparing us the time and not only sharing insights, but actionable insights. And then I'd also like to wish you the best for your platform and for what you are doing to change the world. And may you go from strength to strength.
Thank you very much. This has truly been an honor. And I'm just so happy to be here and share this with your audience.
Thank you. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9.